Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Good morning to you all. This is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on this sixth day of October 2005, a rainy day in the Greenville area. And let's go ahead and check the weather now and see what it's like for us.
Okay, in Greenville, Spartan Works, 70 degrees, also downtown, 70. Also, Anderson, 70, and yes, also Clemson, 70 degrees. Today, showers this morning, then showers with isolated thunderstorms this afternoon. Breezy with highs in the mid-70s, east winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. And today, this half-hour's quote is from Henry Kissinger. Too bad 90% of the politicians give the other 10% a bad reputation.
That's a good way to put it. Of course, it might even be higher than that. I'm not sure you can say 10% of the politicians are good or have a good reputation. Anyway, well, I've been working for a while here on this whole issue of peace in some of my articles and what it means to be a peacemaker. And I'm going to read a couple of these passages from the scriptures this morning. I'm writing an article now called "The Christian's Struggle" or "Christian's Fight to Pursue Peace," or "The Christian's Fight for Peace in the World." And recently, on the in some of these other articles I've done, which have included the article on slavery and the article on nationalism, I've dealt with this topic before because it's just so important. And here's what Jesus says. I'm just going to give you a couple examples, a couple scriptures. He says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." And in Hebrews 12, verse 14, it says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." And we're told other places by Paul, for instance, that the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. There are many allusions in the scriptures to Christians being those who are peacemakers and those who pursue peace. And so what a good way to start off the Christian Worldview show today, I thought, than to have a short time thinking about what it means to be a peacemaker. What is a peacemaker anyway? Well, the common perception, I think a misperception, is a peacemaker is one who goes around mamby-pamby and is just a delight to be around, never causing any grief to anybody. And furthermore, he goes out of his way to heal relationships and to help people get along. That is a peacemaker. Now, there may be some other things I'm missing there I haven't thought of, but generally that's the idea I get from most people when they say that they are peacemakers. They want to be a peacemaker. They want to be a peaceful person. And pacifists champion this a lot. You hear Anabaptist types, Amish, Mennonites, so forth. And they'll champion that they are men of peace. I'm not a man of war. I'm a man of peace. I won't fight because I'm a man of peace. Well, how valid is this stuff, this kind of comment? Well, I think it's not entirely valid, as you can tell by the inflection in my voice, perhaps. And the reason is this. There are things which cause war in the earth. And James tells us, you know, where do these things come from? In fact, let me turn over there in James chapter 4. Just one place of many I could turn to. But you remember, of course, James, the apostle, or the brother of Christ, I believe, who's writing here, is criticizing people's behavior and their warring attitudes towards one another. And he says in chapter 4, verse 1, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet, and you cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it upon your pleasures." Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be the friend of the world makes himself the enemy of God. So here we have an example of James telling us, where do these fights and wars come from among us? And he's talking to Christians here, not talking to unbelievers, but it's the same with them and with anybody. They come from the evil nature of our hearts, our selfish desires to do what we want for ourselves and wanting to lord it over another person. That is, and use that person for our own particular pleasure or benefit and so forth. That is where fighting, wars, grief comes from in this world. Now, you can also blame a certain amount of it on a direct intervention of Satan. I don't deny that. That's also another cause. But this is what the Bible says. The Scripture says in James 4, that's where those wars come from among Christians, at any rate. Well, being that, as in the case of life in the world, of the nature of man and so forth, what does it mean to be a peacemaker? Well, a peacemaker has to be someone who does what he can to stop and to quell and to deter the spread of warring among men, of unrest, of strife, of grief. And there are two principal ways that we do this as Christians. The first way is to preach the gospel of peace. You remember that when the angel announced the birth of Christ, he said there would be peace on earth and goodwill towards men. In Isaiah 55, we are told that the messenger is shod with the gospel of peace. And this is, we find throughout the Scriptures that we can have peace with God if we have our Lord Jesus Christ. So preaching the gospel is a great way to pursue peace, because you engender peace with God. But you also engender, through conversion, sanctification, where people become less like their own sinful natures would have them to be, and more like God, more like Christ. And these are things that really lead to peace in the long run too, as a result of preaching the gospel. But there's an entirely another side to all of this peacemaking activity, and that is the direct stoppage of war. For instance, in the Scripture we have examples of people who are being harmed in crime situations. Woman might be being raped and you come to rescue her. A person, in the story of the Pilgrim's Progress, like Little Faith, who's being bothered, molested, attacked, assailed by some thugs, and a certain great heart is on the road, or Great Grace is on the road, and he goes to rescue that Little Faith. He turns away the assailants and causes there to be peace rather than fighting and war. And this is, maybe you can see where I'm going with this, but this is, I think, a very important part of the Christian's endeavor in the world. What is brought in terms of, practical terms of what we can see, besides what we've already said about the sinful natures of people, what has brought so much war, misery, poverty, destruction of lifestyles and shortening of lives, more than anything else? If you want to look back at history, especially the last even 100 years or 150 years, and you want to point to one thing that has murdered more people, one thing that has caused more dilapidation of the environment, has led to the destruction of lakes and trees, forests, fishing, wildlife, what has caused more destruction to private property? What has put people in the greatest amount of misery, disrupted families, taken away the heads of the families and leaders of the home more than anything else? I'll tell you what it is, and Ludwig von Mises was quick to point it out. It is the interventionist state, the state that is responsible for the murder of 350 million people probably in the 20th century alone, the state which destroyed the environment in the Soviet Union, the state which destroyed private property and ripped apart families. When the kulaks were taken, the males especially, were taken from their homes and left the women and children to be on their own, to the tune of 7 million of the 8 million kulaks there. It wasn't just the men that were taken, by the way, it was all of them. But this mass murder, this genocide, goes relatively unreported compared to the mass murder, I guess, that Hitler performed on, against Jewish people. Not even sure that number really is 6 million. We've heard numbers are probably closer to 1 million were actually murdered by him. Still a lot. But it was one of those things that was blown out of proportion because apparently Jewish people have a better political lobby than kulaks do. Could well be. It's all terrible. Any way you slice it, doesn't matter what the ethnic race is or anything else. The state was responsible for all of this. The interventionist state has been held in check by the early peacemakers in this country. Not only the ones who preached the gospel like Jonathan Edwards, but the peacemakers who are willing to fight away tyranny. And that's why in these latest articles I've entitled them things like The Fight for Peace. And that's why paradoxically in scripture you have things like the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Because there is a certain warfare that peacemakers must undertake if they are to pursue peace with all men and to be peacemakers in the world. It's a paradox and it's peculiar, I know. But it is part of our calling besides preaching the gospel. If we stand idly by so that other people could become trammeled and pummeled by an interventionist state, which has a history of running roughshod over people and harming people, then we are not pursuing peace in the world. We are not doing the right thing. And yes, I suppose we can even say we are living in sin. To sit back idly by and say, I'm a man of peace, I'm not going to go and stop that interventionist state from coming in and destroying people's lives, I just don't want to bother with, you know, being a man that's aggressive, it's wrong. It's a wrong attitude. It's not the right way that God would have us look at things, because if we have the opportunity to be at peace with men and help other men and be peacemakers in the world, then we ought to take up that opportunity. I don't think the Roman civilization, the apostles had an opportunity to resist with arms like the early Americans did or that we would have today. They didn't have the opportunities or the technologies that we have. But we can pursue peace, and we can do so by fighting back against tyranny and oppression. I think that's part of it, folks. And we'd like to hear from you if you agree or disagree, I suppose. 864-244-9904 is our new number. It's the third line here into the studio, 864-244-9904. You can also try our traditional numbers if you'd like. It doesn't mean, of course, what I've just said, that the interventionist state should be used as a means of quelling other interventionist states. In other words, we don't pursue peace by going over with a state, an empire plan, and trying to attack Iraq or trying to subdue the communists wherever we may find them in the world. Because when you do that, you're having one interventionism pitted against another. You're not pursuing peace. The wars in the late 20th century and the early 21st century have hardly been those which have been for pursuing peace. Quite to the contrary, they've caused more derision, more what states do, more poverty, more bloodshed, more destruction of things in an unbiblical manner. The way of peace would have been to simply move in and assassinate Saddam Hussein and go away. He's still alive, waiting or going on trial. He's not been taken out of the way permanently yet. But if you're going to pursue peace in any one way, you go to the perpetrator. You don't bash a bunch of innocent people that haven't attacked you. And that's what we've done. And that's why that's not a war that can be one that's yet to pursue peace. But at any rate, that's a thought for the morning. That's something I've been working on. Haven't heard it from others before, but I think I'm correct about this. And as I've sought to have to think God's thoughts after Him in a public policy context, I hope it's been profitable for you to think about too. This is Christian Worldview. This is the show that helps you think a little bit better, a little bit more deeply in the morning. And that's what we're trying to do for you this morning: help you think better, think differently, get rid of the garb of the neocons, which have been forced down us through the media and our terrible pagan seminary training in the public schools. Okay, before the break, are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find there are regular people like you concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Our business meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at the library on Malden Road between the old stadium and Lawrence Road. Visitors are welcome. To talk politics, join us for the Libertarian Underground at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month. It's at Cafe Underground just off of Main Street, downtown Greenville. We would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Thank you for supporting the Libertarian Party and Christian Worldview on the Tyranny Response Network. The Liberty of Plenty meeting at Spartanburg is on the first Tuesday of the month, and that will be held at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In. And the business meeting for the Spartanburg Libertarians is actually held on the third Tuesday, the 18th this month, at 6:30 p.m. at the Westside branch of the Spartanburg County Library. So whichever area you're in, we hope that you'll be able to make a Libertarian meeting at some point. And we're going to go ahead and go take our first break. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins.
The Patriot Network is a national federation of local clubs devoted to bringing relief to the oppressed American taxpayer. It is based right here in the South Carolina Upcountry and chaired by Dr. John Coben's associate, legendary freedom warrior Robert Clarkson. Visit our website at patriotnetwork.info for full contact information, meeting times, and locations around the South and beyond. That's Patriot Network, one word, .info. There you can also sample many action reports, current and past issues of our newsletter, and mainstream news features about IRS rot, corruption, and incompetence. Find out what our decades-old organization may be able to do to put a stop to your IRS problems. PatriotNetwork.info commends Dr. John Coben on the founding of the Tyranny Response Network and his unique Christian worldview show, heard weekday mornings right here on TRN. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network, where we comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you've joined us this morning. Got so many things going on, it seems, today, and we're going to go ahead and go back into a few of the news stories. We have Fox News here saying that CIA Goss won't review the 9/11 actions of Tenet and others. Contrary to recommendations from his own internal watchdog, CIA Director Porter Goss will not order disciplinary reviews for former Director George Tenet and other officials criticized for their performance before the 9/11 attacks. Goss said in a statement Wednesday that the report from the CIA's Inspector General John Helgerson did not suggest that any one person or group or people could have prevented 9/11. Well, ho ho. Well, why would the insiders, if this is truly an inside job, why would we suspect anything else? You know, I mean, it's sure there are a lot of suspicious things that happened around 9/11, and the eyewitness accounts, the evidence which you see on InfoWars and other places on the internet looks pretty compelling. Even the stuff from Popular Mechanics, there's enough there to give you some doubt about things, to say the least. But at any rate, we're not surprised that they're not going to check out. They're not going to check out the former CIA head. Why would they? I mean, you know, they're going to cover themselves. It's all sort of a game for them, it seems. And at any rate, the other story, of course, is conservative new justice, Harriet Meyer. Some conservatives express uncertainty about Bush's nominee. Some are still saying, yeah, it's great, he's a great guy, wonderful man, we can always trust George W. Bush. When are they going to wake up and smell the coffee, folks? I mean, how many evangelicals have been duped so long and they still line up behind their man? So, and this man who's just taking away their rights, raping them politically and probably in other ways. Myers meets with lawmakers on Capitol Hill. Washington Supreme Court nominee Harriet Myers continued to try to garner support from senators on Capitol Hill Wednesday while some conservative groups questioned her nomination. Republicans who helped ensure a smooth confirmation process for John Roberts, President Bush's pick for the Supreme Court Chief Justice, are now causing tension in the party with concerns that Myers isn't conservative enough. Boy, when neocons are telling you that she's not conservative enough, we've really got a problem here. I'm getting reports on both sides, said Pat Weyrich, a conservative leader from the Free Congress Foundation. Some people are quite enthused about her, and other people are very upset. The grassroots are not happy, I can tell you that. Senator Trent Lott, Republican from Mississippi, said Wednesday that it's not enough for a president to say, trust me, when it comes to the highest court of the land. There are a lot more people, men, women, and minorities, that are more qualified, in my opinion, by their experience than she is. The former Senate Majority Leader said in a television interview, I don't just automatically salute or take a deep bow any time a nominee is sent up. I have to find out who these people are, and right now I'm not satisfied with what I know. White House spokesman Scott McClellan on Wednesday said the nomination is still fresh and suggested that there would be more support for Myers after senators looked at her record of accomplishment. Of what? McClellan said Myers would answer senators' questions during a confirmation hearings, but the White House would not release confidential, deliberative documents related to her work for the president. Before the confirmation hearings begin, Myers is doing all she can to be accessible to senators and give them a better idea of who she is and what kind of justice she would be replacing retiring Justice Sandra Day O'Connor. Democrats say they want to find out more about the 60-year-old nominee who met with Senator Patrick Leahy, the top Judiciary Committee Democrat from Vermont, on Wednesday. Leahy has not announced how he will vote on Myers' nomination, saying it is too early to reach any firm judgment about such an important nomination. Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid said so far, so good, but has not given an indication of whether he would vote for Myers. He added that the addition of a justice with years of experience as a practicing lawyer would benefit the court. I guess Bush has got him in his pocket, huh? Well, anyway, they go back and forth, and there are people who are happy and not. Here's a few others listed in the article. Feminist Majority Foundation. That sounds like a good godly group, doesn't it? President Eleanor Smeal told Fox News that Bush's nomination offers no paper trail for the Senate to investigate and will create a burden on expanding the confirmation process. He nominated a person without a paper trail, a stealth candidate, Smeal said. So she's worried, apparently, about that. Anti-abortion group Operation Rescue on Tuesday promised an active campaign to get Bush to withdraw her nomination. Well, there's some good guys. Operation Rescue, we like them. And they're already out campaigning to get him to replace or withdraw her nomination. Well, that's good. Okay, well, that gives us some insight of what's really happening. If they are opposing, then I suppose we know right away that we're supposed to oppose her, too, because they probably have some inside information that we don't yet, just reading the Fox News story so far. We know the Cato Institute, with Roger Pyle on yesterday, came out and said this is a bad choice. He's not happy with her, and that's another good reason for us not to support her. So they're starting to come out. Not surprised that we're finding people suggesting that we should oppose her confirmation as true pro-life libertarians or constitutionalists. The constitutionalists have also have another mark against her. That's that she was involved with the lottery and the lottery commission in Texas, which they don't like. Us pro-life libertarian types think that lotteries are a great way to fund government, especially because the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. But that is another topic. Some people have harshly criticized me for that in the Constitution Party, for whatever reason. But I don't. That's okay. They're welcome to do so. Although being harsh is never really a good Christian virtue. I might add. But I can preach to myself about that sometimes, and I shall. Sandy Ross, who's president of the Concerned Women of America, said she hopes Myers will be confirmed quickly to allow more focus on the war in Iraq. Oh, right. So let's just kind of move to the side and not worry about this. Rios, the Sandy Rios character, said the recent stories on Myers' born-again Christian faith will help her on the bench. Oh, really? So there's recent stories about her being a born-again Christian? Is that kind of born-again at the Luciferian Mason sort of ceremony that maybe George Bush went through? What does it mean to be born-again if you're one of these guys? It apparently doesn't mean the same thing as what Jesus means in John chapter 3, or the Apostle Paul, for that matter. There is, or Peter, I should say, there is no indication that people in politics in these high offices are truly people of faith. They pursue war, they pursue abortion, or they don't stop it. I mean, there are a lot of things that are going on there which indicate the opposite. It's a good thing that Harriet has faith in something beyond herself. In something beyond herself, I suppose, Rios said. Texas Supreme Court Justice Nathan Hecht, has a friend of Myers, said the nominee has many strengths and will rule the bench fairly. Oh, really? Former news contributor Marvin Kalb, a lecturer at Harvard University's John F. Kennedy School of Government, said the White House is battling criticism, realizes that Myers' nomination requires a major effort to push through, I'll say. There's precious little to go on, and a deep concern that this would be a suitor-type candidate, said Senator Sam Brownback, a Judiciary Committee Republican and possible 2008 presidential candidate, referring to Supreme Court Justice David Souter, nominated by former President Bush and later surprised supporters when he showed a liberal tendencies on the court. Circumstances to be very similar, said Brownback, who will meet with Myers on Thursday. Not much track record, people vouching for, or yet indications of a different thought pattern earlier in life. So be it. There's something about Myers. Yes, Myers. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to need to be active in our world, folks. You have, as a Christian, have an obligation to do that. You've got to do something as a Christian. You can't just sit idly by. One thing you can do is get involved with movements like the Christian Exodus. You can register with the Christian Exodus and pay the $40 registration fee and attend the meeting coming up on Saturday, October 15th, from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. The phone number is 877-727-3578. That's 877-727-3578. Come and hear about the Christian Exodus movement, its feasibility for survival and success here in South Carolina, workshops with questions and answers on current people that have already moved here with Christian Exodus and who are planning to move here. There is, of course, a full-course plated meal for lunch, choice of food and refreshments that you'll be able to have for your $40, so it's worth every penny of it. You'll be able to hear various speakers. Dr. Hugh Court, who is a psychiatrist, spent years researching terrorism sources. Mr. Michael Chapman, who serves on the board of directors of EdWatch, the largest grassroots education movement in Minnesota history. Mr. Larry Kilgore, who's running for the governor of Texas in the 2006 Republican primary on a strict Christian platform and a determination to eradicate illegal immigration. Dr. John Coben, yours truly, who you know all about. Mr. Arthur Bringelson, who is the vice chairman of the Republican Party in Dorchester County. And Corey Burnell, who is the president of Christian Exodus. So, by all means, attend the meeting if you can. It'll be worth doing. It'll be occurring just a week from this Saturday. The phone number to register is 877-727-3578. That's 877-727-3578. I wonder if Richie's put this up on the events page yet. I hope he has. The October calendar is up. We'll hope Richie has it up on the page there for people to follow. Well, there's some very important information coming out of Pickens County. And we'll just mention it quickly before we go to our top of the hour break. Mr. Doug Taylor, who's the chairman of the Upstate Libertarian Society, has said, the Pickens County Councilman Ben Trotter has alerted me on October 10th at 7 p.m. the Planning Committee will hold a hearing. The Pickens County Planning Commission will have a hearing on setbacks. This is defined as the amount of property they can tell you that you cannot use next to a street or road or adjoining piece of property. We need to ask for a minimum setback and preferably very little. Please pass this on to all your friends and be at the meeting. We need to let them know that we do not want a big setback. Very truly yours. And he's writing that, got that from a guy named Wendell. So at any rate, that that email came in from Doug Taylor, and we wanted to alert you of it. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We've reached the top of the hour break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. You're listening to homeschooler-friendly TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. The Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the American Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedoms of speech or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces, or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben this 6th day of October 2005. Glad you've joined us. Been an interesting, deep-thinking show today so far, and this next half hour promises to be the same thing. Before we do that, if you're still on the way to work, we want to make sure you know what the weather's going to be in store like today, so here it is.
Alright, in Greenville's spot market, 68 degrees. Downtown, also 68. Anderson, 69 degrees. Clemson, also 69. Today, showers this morning, then showers with isolated thunderstorms this afternoon. Breezy with highs in the mid-70s, east winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. And this half hour's quote is from Abraham Lincoln. The ballot is stronger than the bullet. And we'd like to remind folks about our new phone number here. Please welcome you to try it out. It's 244-9904. That's 864-244-9904.
And that sounds like a swell idea. Go ahead and try it out. We've had not as many calls this week as we normally get on Christian Worldview. No doubt because people have been either out of the area or probably just listening with great enjoyment. Had a couple of good praises come in yesterday from people who are one's a new listener, just wishes he could hear the signal better sometimes where he travels. But remember, we have signals. The signal is starting up in around Gaffney, 87.9 coming down into Greer. Then you need to switch over to 97.7. All this on the FM dial. And they are still working as quickly as they can to get the Pickens County Anderson area up at 87.9 as well. So bear with us, folks. We're a fledgling station run by volunteers, and we do the best we can. By the way, if you're interested in helping out the Tyranny Response Network, either financially or with just a couple hours of your expertise every month, we'd be happy to have you. You can go to the tyrannyresponse.net website, or the policyofliberty.net website, that's my homepage, and there's a button down at the bottom where you can donate through PayPal or an address where you can simply send a check. Other than that, we also have a need for volunteers, and you can contact us by simply going to the Contacts tab on tyrannyresponse.net, clicking on it, and emailing any one of the names you see there, and letting them know what you're capable of doing for radio signal and transmission, or for computer networking. Those are our two big needs, as well as a substitute producer for the Christian Worldview show a couple, three times a month, if it's possible. So at any rate, if you have any of those capabilities and are interested in helping out, we'd be very glad to hear from you. Hope that you will give us a call, or give us an email, I should say. Well, here from the Anchorage Daily News, we have Alaska Airlines takes flying fish to a whole new level. It shows a beautiful picture here. The plane's fuselage painted with looks like a salmon, big salmon. It looks like a flying fish, obviously. Here it is. The $500,000 grant from federal funds pays for custom paint job on the company's passenger jet. This is Wesley Loy from Anchorage Daily News writing. So you landed a big king salmon this summer. It can't compare to the colossal king Alaska Airlines plans to land this morning in Anchorage. The Seattle-based carrier has painted nearly a full length of a Boeing 737-400 passenger jet as a wild Alaska king or Chinook salmon. The airline has dubbed its flying fish the Salmon 30 Salmon. It's a bold promotional move to celebrate wild Alaska seafood and also the carrier's role in hauling millions of pounds of fresh salmon, halibut, crab, shrimp, and other seafood out of the state each year. Well, it's a bold move, all right, but what are we, 120-foot-long salmon on this thing, $500,000. I know that's a drop in the bucket. It's not even, 5 seconds or 6 seconds worth of interest. But what a colossal waste of money. Can you imagine the federal government looting taxpayers so that Alaska Airlines can paint a fish on the side of its airplane with a custom paint job? Give me a break. I mean, this is sick stuff, man. Well, not as sick as other things, but it's just a waste. What a waste of money. Well, let's talk about a little bit more about old Harriet. Let's see if we can find what Lou Rockwell has to say. Yeah, here it is. LouRockwell.com. This is an article by Joshua Frank. Joshua Frank, and it's called Cronyism and Capitulation, The Scoop on Harriet Myers. So here we're going to get a good inside source on what's going on with this woman, this nominee. And Joshua Frank says the following. So you thought that Harriet Myers, George W. Bush's new Supreme Court pick, has no paper trail? You are wrong. One of Myers' only qualifications for the High Court, as she hasn't an ounce of judicial experience, is that she was the head of Locke, Little, and Sapp, a sleazy corporate law firm based in Dallas, Texas. According to the Internet Bankruptcy Library, Locke, Liddell, and Sapp paid $22 million in a suit alleging it aided a client for defrauding investors. The Dallas-based firm agreed in April of 2000 to settle a suit stemming from its representation of Russell Erxelben, a former University of Texas football star whose foreign currency trading company, Austin Forex International, was a pyramid get-rich Ponzi scheme. Erxelben later pleaded guilty to federal conspiracy and securities fraud charges. It's very simple, a legal proposition. A lawyer can't help people steal money. George of George and Donaldson told reporters at the time, George's firm had represented investors who lost close to $34 million in Erxelben's company. All this was going on while Harriet Myers was co-managing partner of the law firm. Myers denied that settling the suit indicated that her firm was somehow complicit in Erxelben's criminal activities. Obviously, we evaluated this, that this was the right time to settle and to resolve this matter, and that it was in the best interest of the firm to do so, Myers said. The Myers scandal-laden past goes deeper into her ties into corporate crooks into Texas. According to Newsweek, she's also played a role in maintaining Bush's National Guard credibility, as Michael Isikoff wrote in July of 2000, the following. The Bushy's concern began when he was while he was running for a second term as governor. A hard-nosed Dallas lawyer named Harriet Myers was retained to investigate the issue. State records show Myers was paid $19,000 by the Bush gubernatorial campaign. She and other aides quickly identified a problem. Rumors that Bush had help from his father in getting into the National Guard back in 1968. Ben Barnes, a prominent Texas Democrat and former Speaker of the House in the state legislature, told friends he used his influence to get George W. a guard slot after receiving a request from Houston oilman Sid Adger. Barnes said that Adger told him he was calling on behalf of the elder George Bush, then a Texas congressman. Both Bushes and I seeking any help from the Barnes or Adger, who has since passed away. Concerned that Barnes might go public with his allegations, that the Bush campaign sent Don Evans, a friend of W's, to hear Barnes' story. Barnes acknowledged that he hadn't actually spoken directly to Bush Sr., had no documents to back up his story. As the Bush campaign saw it, that led both Bushes off the hook, and the National Guard question seemed under control. It gets better, if not dirtier. At roughly the same time Myers was helping Bush dodge National Guard questions, Bush had named her chair of the Texas Lottery Commission, which has been scandal-plagued for years. The chief issue before Myers and the commission is whether to retain lottery operator GTEC, which had been implicated in a huge Texas bribery scandal. According to the Philadelphia Daily News, GTEC's main lobbyist in Texas in the mid-1990s was none other than Benjamin Barnes, who had just happened to have the lowdown on how Bush got into the National Guard to avoid going over to Vietnam. GTEC fired Barnes in 1997. A short time after Barnes was fired, GTEC had its lottery contract renewed, even though two companies had bid lower than GTEC had. Former Texas Lottery Director Lawrence Litwin filed suit. He thought the whole charade smelled a scandal. Litwin's lawyer suggested in court filings that GTEC was allowed to keep the lottery contract, which Litwin wanted to open up to competitive bidding in return for Benjamin Barnes' silence about Bush's entry into the National Guard. Barnes and his lawyers denounced Litwin's favored repaid theory in court pleadings as preposterous, fantastic, and fanciful. According to the Philadelphia Daily News, Litwin was fired after ordering a review of the campaign finance reports of the various Texas politicians for any links to GTEC or other lottery contractors. But Litwin wasn't hired or fired until months after Barnes had severed his relationship with GTEC. Litwin later settled with GTEC for a hefty $300,000. And here we have Republicans more upset about Bush's Supreme Court choice than Democrats. Well, they have a reason to be skeptical, if not upset. As William Kristol recently noted, that Bush's pick will unavoidably be judged as reflecting a combination of cronyism and capitulation on the part of the president. And that's coming from a neocon. For once, the old windbag may be right, says Joshua Frank. Young man calling Irving Kristol the old windbag. Good point. Appreciate Joshua's frankness and candidness in pointing out some of the foibles of Harriet Myers, which we aren't hearing elsewhere, and her dealings with corruption in the past. You are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time, you're listening to a recording. Calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we're trying to provide that roughage for your brain today. I mean, who else is going to do it? You're not going to get it on other radio stations, I'll tell you that much. And so this is the one that helps you have that roughage that you need every day. Wanted to remind people of a couple things under the related media links on the tyrannyresponse.net or tyrannyresponse.com website. One of them is the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. If you go under the related media tab on tyrannyresponse.com or .net, scroll down towards the bottom, you'll see a link there for the South Carolina Fundamental Rights Petition. Click on it, and in 30 seconds, you can vote. You can make your voice heard and put yourself on a petition asking the South Carolina legislature to recognize that our fundamental rights to life, liberty, and property are not granted by the state. They are indeed fundamental rights that we hold inherently, naturally, if you will, from God alone. That's what the petition says, and you can help by going online and simply clicking on it and voting, or inserting your name on the petition. It won't take you long, 30 seconds maybe. Also, at the top of this page, the related media links, is a note about our favorite local newspaper, the Times Examiner. It is the conservative voice, or the independent conservative voice of the Palmetto State, as it says. Rip and Rishi has not updated that yet. It should be the independent conservative voice of the Palmetto State. Are you tired of reading liberal columnists? The Times Examiner features outstanding conservative and pro-life libertarian columnists. It supports home and Christian schooling, limited government, free markets, private property rights, gun ownership, Christian values, and our great Southern heritage. Pick up a copy around newsstands in Greenville, or call 864-268-0576 to get a subscription. It's only $25 a year in-state and $27 a year out-of-state. That's 864-268-0576. If you'd like to place an ad in the Times Examiner, give David a call directly at 864-859-6817. That's 859-6817, and ask for David directly. Help your business out and help the Times Examiner succeed. And be sure to get a copy of this week's Times Examiner, as you'll begin to see my new articles coming out on the nature of the state. Yes, the Nations and Nationalism theology article series is over, after causing some controversy and some deep thinking. And now The Nature of the State, the series is out. This will be three articles, and it is indeed going to be doing the same thing, I'm sure. So be sure to get it a copy of it and check out page 10, where the Tyranny Response Unit frequently or usually writes. In fact, I don't think I've ever been anywhere but page 10. So it's a good page to remember. Well, the Tyranny Response Network staff, the researchers, have sent up some things from various sources this morning. This one looks like it came up from a friend of his, of our research staff, who mailed into the show the following. Greetings. I just heard these on the radio. The quotes may not be exact, but they're pretty close. I thought some of you might be interested. Some of the comments from the Bill O'Reilly show on 10-5 of 05. A female caller said, why can't the left understand that we can separate our intelligence from our faith? Oh no, says the research staff. O'Reilly says, gives reason and agrees with the caller. Oh no. The male caller calls in and says, if you say your religion is not intelligence, then you're saying your religion is worthless. Okay, that sounds reasonable or logical, says the Tyranny Response Network staff. O'Reilly says, you have to make laws based on the common good. What about the Jew and the Muslim? The philosophy of Jesus does not fit in a secular society. Making laws for the common good, think about it, says this writer, Ron. The quote below sums up things rather well, and according to the truth of God's word, God is looking out for Christians, obviously not Bill O'Reilly. The whole counsel of God, concerning all things necessary for his own glory, man's salvation, faith, and life, is either expressly set down in Scripture, or by good and necessary consequence may be deduced from Scripture, into which nothing at any time is to be added, whether by new revelations of the Spirit or traditions of men. Nevertheless, we acknowledge the inward illumination of the Spirit of God to be necessary for the saving understanding of such things as are revealed in the Word of God, and that there are some circumstances concerning the worship of God and the government of the Church common to human actions and societies, which are to be ordered by the light of nature and Christian prudence, according to the general rules of the Word, which are always to be observed. There's a pretty good summation, I think, of the Christian worldview with regard to various things, and the bankruptcy of people like O'Reilly. So appreciate our research staff forwarding this email from Ron to the Christian Worldview show. Okay, here is a story from the Miami Herald. It's called MiamiHerald.com. How will the government protect us or the alligators from this, wonder some of our research staff. How will the government protect us? And wow, oh my. It's got a picture on here of a pretty large alligator. I'm trying to see, what do you think that is right there? That it looks like this is the alligator, and there's like a, well, is he eating another alligator? It's hard for me to tell what that is. We're going to have to examine this photo some more from the Miami Herald. It's got a helicopter with some pontoons on it, sitting in a swamp, and there's a enormous alligator. It looks like it's hard to even tell where it's got a head and a tail. It's like it's almost chopped up, isn't it? Or maybe it's eating another one. I can't really tell what that is. Can you? You see what that is? No, neither of us can tell. Well, anyway, there must be something to this photo. We're going to have to examine it some more, and maybe someone can call in and tell us what this is all about, because it's not evident to us what this thing is exactly. But it's helicopter, pontoon boat, and how will the government protect us or the alligators from this is the question that people are asking. So it's hard for you to see it, but sometimes we get some good pictures in here too. Now, even a better picture came up from the people in Texas, and it says something like why there ain't no looting in Texas. And this is a great picture. We understand this picture, and we can describe it. It looks like a typical middle class neighborhood in Texas. Green grass, trees, and homes that look like they're in pretty good condition. And it's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 men. All these men are holding up their arms. Some of them, I'm not talking about parts of their body. I'm talking about, I see one Smith & Wesson with a 12-inch barrel. Looks like a .357, or maybe it's a .44. A couple of hunting rifles. men with sidearms, several different kinds of sidearms, revolvers. Looks like we have some semi-automatic weapons, maybe even some assault rifles here, dreaded things that they are, as well as, just a whole host of other kinds of weapons. Somebody's got their trunk open, holding up some other guns out of there, and all of them are leaning around a sign, a piece of plywood painted with it says, on it is painted, "Drunks with guns. You loot, we shoot." So they're advertising to people that if you're going to invade this little neighborhood and try to loot anybody or anything, you are going to be shot by these men. And so that's why, apparently, they don't have looting in Texas. Good picture. Gotta like it. Pretty cute. I know liberals probably won't like it, but or maybe people who are, soft. But don't you think that, as we talked about that little devotional time in the morning, talking about this early in the show, peacemaking, that those people are making peace? After all, by protecting private property rights and standing up against aggressors, we pursue peace. It's a paradoxical, almost seeming contradiction, about as contradictory as the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly, as the scripture says. But these men are making that society where they live more peaceful by repelling looters. Of course, who's the greatest looter in the history of the world? It's always been the state, far more than any common thug or criminal or crime organization, Al Capone or whoever else. The state has been the greatest criminal. The interventionist state has been the greatest bringer of misery and poverty and war that world has ever known. And so resisting tyrants, indeed, is the way to pursue peace. Okay, here is "The True Racists in the Bennett Black Baby Debate" by Jason Carlson. The liberal media and political spin machine are up in arms over former Education Secretary Bill Bennett's comments this week. On Bennett's radio program, Morning in America, Mr. Bennett, in reply to a caller, took issue with recent hypothesis in the book Freakonomics that one of the reasons for a declining crime rate in America was due to the presence of legalized abortion in this country since 1973. Bennett responded to this idea by saying, "But I do know that it's true that if you wanted to reduce crime, you could. If that was your sole purpose, you could abort every black baby in this country and your crime rate would go down." Bennett concluded his thought by saying that this was an impossible, ridiculous, and morally reprehensible thing to do, but your crime rate would go down. So these far-reaching, extensive extrapolations are, I think, tricky. In a statement, Mr. Bennett points out the ridiculous notion that crime might be decreased through the presence of abortion in society. Unfortunately, as an example, he chose to use a reference to the minority black community to communicate this point. Mr. Bennett's choice of example was poor. However, Mr. Bennett's argument against using abortion as a justification for lowering the crime rate was right on. I find it extremely curious that Mr. Bennett has been raked over the coals by the liberals for referring to the abortions of black babies as a hypothetical example to refute a ridiculous hypothesis that abortion helps the crime rate. And yet, while the liberals condemn Mr. Bennett for hypothetically referencing the abortion of black babies, these very same liberals stand by and give full approval to the very people who actually are aborting black babies in this country every single day. Some of these things are, I'm going to pause here, are truisms, and they're rather silly, because obviously if we aborted 100% of all children that would be born this year, the crime rate would go down. Because why? There'd be less people. And who causes crime? It's people. So yeah, you could kill all the people, there won't be any more crime. Duh. I mean, this isn't really some scientific, advance to be able to say, wow, we've got more abortion, we've got fewer people, and therefore fewer people, we have less crime. So what? It's almost like saying, yeah, and I've used this example before on Christian Worldview, simple economics. You want to reduce smog, air pollution? It's easy to do. You just eliminate all cars, make it illegal to drive. No one can drive anymore, and you'll get clean air. Duh. So, what does that matter? I mean, yeah, it's true. Yeah, but that doesn't mean we want that or we're willing to pay the cost of not ever being able to drive again so we can have clean air. This is the preposterous nature of many of these liberal kind of arguments. Liberals just don't think is their problem. They're just kind of the stupid. They used to call the Conservative Party the stupid party, but I think they deserve that label more than the Conservative Party. Of course, the neocons, well, They're pretty sly and clever, but they aren't much brighter either when you look at people like George W. Bush, at any rate. When we come back after this break, we're going to talk about Operation Homeschool. We're going to talk about a few things related to the Christian faith as it comes down to politics and people discussing them in different areas of the country right now. And you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
There is a place for government in the affairs of men, and our Declaration of Independence tells us precisely what that is. The role of government is to protect individuals in their God-given individual rights. Freedom is the natural birthright of man, but all that government can do in behalf of freedom is to let the individual alone, and it should secure him his rights by making others let him alone. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 142.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
You're listening to the Tyranny Response Network, sensible radio that knows that open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. It's time for your next shock treatment.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, the 6th day of October 2006. And we finally figured out what this picture was. It was a giant exotic snake someone had down in wherever in the Florida swamps trying to swallow an alligator. And what you see is the remnants of the feast. Both are dead, apparently. And the government, whatever. The caption here is, how will government protect us or the alligators from this happening? Yes. Anyway, okay, well, we're back here on the show. We want to check the weather one more time, and we're going to do that now.
Okay, Greenville Spot Murray 68 degrees, downtown 66, Anderson 68, also in Clemson 68. Today, showers this morning, then showers with isolated thunderstorms this afternoon. Breezy with highs in the mid-70s, east winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. And this half-hour's quote is by Winston Churchill. Men occasionally stumble over the truth, but most of them pick themselves up and hurry off as if nothing had happened. We want to remind the folks of our new phone number. It's 864-244-9904. I encourage you to try it out and give us a call.
Okay, Pat, we certainly do that. Help wanted, U.S. Supreme Court judge, no experience necessary, contribute here. This is by Thomas Andrew Olson. Until today, I'd kept quiet on the issue of Supreme Court nominations. In the case of our new Chief Justice John Roberts, I was going to complain from a standpoint of mistaken belief that becoming chief was usually preceded by some dues-paying time as an associate justice. And here he is, going straight to the top. However, a little digging at Wikipedia proved this wasn't so. I'm glad I didn't put my foot in it. More on that later. What finally set me over the edge was today's announcement of Bush's new nominee to replace Sandra Day O'Connor, Harriet Myers, someone whose entire career has been nothing more than that of a political operative and water carrier, with no judicial experience of any kind. This had me thinking of the Roman Emperor Caligula, who was alleged to have appointed his favorite horse as a consul. The parallels of the misadventures of certain mentally unstable Roman emperors in the Bush administration are too delicious to ignore. Oh, I like that. That's a nice way to put it. Of course, it wouldn't be the first time Bush has promoted people utterly unqualified for their jobs. Well, why would they? Why? I mean, it's a way to pay off friends, folks. That's all these things are. The case of Michael Brown as head of FEMA is now classic in the annals of Bush blunder. Mrs. Myers, while once being touted as the pit bull in size 6 shoes, has never been a judge, never argued a case before the high court, and never been other than a Bush loyalist who is now getting rewarded for that loyalty. Great point that he's making here. He says a little later down here, according to Wikipedia, the Constitution does not exactly establish any qualifications for justices of the Supreme Court. However, presidents normally nominate individuals who have prior legal experience. Typically, most nominees have previous judicial experience, either at the federal or state level. Several nominees have formerly served on the federal courts of appeal, especially the Court of Appeals of the District of Columbia Circuit, which is often considered a stepping stone to the Supreme Court. Another source of Supreme Court nominees is the federal executive branch, in particular the Department of Justice. Other potential nominees include members of Congress and academics. On the current Supreme Court, 7 justices previously served on federal courts, including 3 in the D.C. Circuit Court, 2 served on state courts, 3 were former law school professors, and 3 had full-time positions in federal executive branch. Nominees to the Supreme Court as well as the lower federal courts are evaluated by the American Bar Association Standing Committee on Federal Judiciary. The panel is composed of 15 federal judges but not Supreme Court justices, including at least 1 from each federal circuit. The body assesses the nominee solely to professional qualifications, integrity, professional competence, and judicial temperament, often brings a rating of well-qualified, qualified, or not qualified. The opinions of the committee bind neither the president nor the Senate. However, they are generally taken into account. After reading that, I decided to do some more digging, he said, and there have been over 100 Supreme Court justices appointed in our nation's history on an average of 1 every 22 months. Time did not permit me to look at the resumes of all of them, so I concentrated on the chief justices, as there have only been 16 prior to the current one. The first three, John Jay, John Rutledge, and Oliver Ellsworth, all served with distinction in the Revolution, were accomplished jurists, and helped draft the Constitution. Ellsworth was the first senator elected from Connecticut. John Marshall, revolutionary, reported in 1801, jurist congressman. Roger Taney, appointed in 1836, political appointment by Andrew Jackson to reward loyalty, a leader of Federalist Party, Attorney General of Maryland, and then U.S. Attorney General, also served a brief stint as Secretary of the Treasury. Then you had Salmon Chase, and he goes through, I'm not going to read all these guys, but he down around at 1910, he appointed Edward D. White, or the president appointed Edward D. White. It's one that actually came up through the ranks. He was studying law in the North when the war between the states broke out. He returned to his native Louisiana to enlist. Most of the time, it looks like these people were not coming right up from the ranks, so to speak. And that's what his point is. Earl Warren was appointed in 1953. He was a district attorney of California, attorney general and governor of California, where he supported internment camps for Japanese Americans, ran for vice president with Dewey in 48, and appointed chief justice by Eisenhower, who later claimed the decision was the biggest damned fool mistake I'd ever made in my life, as Warren proved to be far less conservative than everyone thought. He set the tone for making law from the bench. Beginning with Brown versus Board of Education, he also led the controversial Warren Commission to investigate the JFK assassination. Then you went to Warren Burger, William Rehnquist, and now John Roberts. Interestingly enough, these things are typically just political appointments, folks. They're rewards for loyalty. It's this little thing, little Benny that you get for being good in the campaign or in helping the president, the person who gets elected. Rewarding loyalty. Well, here's Operation Homeschool. So shifting gears here. Military Spouse Career Center. Operation Homeschool, A Commitment to Reclaim Children's Minds, by Dr. Mike Colson and Jane Colson, former and president school principals. CSMO, when the military wants to move out, it orders close station marching orders and hits the road running in order to engage the enemy. Homeschooling for some families can start just the same way. When schools, authorities, trends, and concerns about behavior and culture begin to impact our children, it is not uncommon for families to decide to take their children out of the public school system and make a commitment to homeschool. And what a commitment it is. Taking over the plethora of academic, fine arts, practicum, and social training for one or many children is no small task and can last as long as 60% of a 20-year military career. Here are some observations from a former private and public school principal with a background in K-12 homeschool education. A good beginning. The art of deliberating can often be replaced with reacting to problems and challenges. One of the many homeschooled parents that I have met, all but a handful were careful and committed people who want the best for their children and were prepared to alter their own lives accordingly. Starting well demands that we think through why a child is taken out of the public school system. Reacting to personality clashes, misunderstandings, miscommunications, and outright errors by school staff can leave the educating parent adrift in responsibilities, some of which they may be beyond their ability to cope. This is this is a family decision that requires deliberate conversation, research, asking questions of others in similar circumstances, and engaging professional educators in both in person and online. Every child benefits not from an acrimonious beginning, but a sound and comprehensive decision that knows well both pros and cons. Competence and cooperation. Just as we all have positive attributes, so too are there negatives when it comes to providing comprehensive education during our child's educational tenure. Are you a good teacher? And if so, what are your strong subjects? Conversely, what areas did you struggle with as a scholar? These questions are vital as you will be establishing yourself as your child's educational expert. Skipping on a little bit, don't forget about basic academics. Fine arts, tuba, and piano lessons, community theater, and dance are all worthy electives for your child. Be careful to measure, though, your child's progress in the analytical disciplines like reading, writing, math, and all its forms, foundational sciences versus earth science and astronomy, and the languages. Most children fight these disciplines, and many parents and tutors and jointly run cooperative classes, events best. Well, some kids fight against that stuff. Other ones just know it's just part of what they do, and they learn, and they just go on and plod along and take it. It doesn't have to be quite that hard. But anyway, medium and long-term challenges in homeschool, part two. She says she's going to explore the art of teaching fine arts and how to get to know children as well as others will know them. Well, this is interesting that military.com is coming up with this prescription for how to get your kids out of the public school and into homeschools. We appreciate that. That's a good step in the right direction, because military people are often the most brainwashed people. They end up having to do all the dirty work of the thugs in Washington. And we're very supportive of people in the military, don't misunderstand, but we're not supportive of the work they have to do by the thugs that are over them quite often. And it's nice to see that some will escape that indoctrination by getting their kids out of the public school system. Well, here's another story, righteousness or republicanism. Our blind loyalty to it is destroying us. The party, that is the Republican Party, has been infiltrated with baby killers, sodomites, fornication promoters, big government socialism, big spending money grubbers, anti-gun Marxists, and just to name a few. This is Righteousness or Republicanism by Kelly McGinley on News with Views. The country is a constitutional and moral crisis, and the blind loyalty of the Republican Party has a lot to do with the problem. We've got to stop supporting a candidate just because he or she is an R before his or her name. The Republican platform is great, but the Republicans can only give up. The Republicans can only give it lip service. What good is it? It's no good. Noah Webster stated, "When you become entitled to exercise the right of voting for public officers, let it be impressed upon your mind that God commands you to choose for rulers, just men who will rule in the fear of God." Well, that's not true. Where in the world does God say that? Okay, I'm going to take issue with this, because God does not command people to choose rulers anywhere. And when they, except for 1 Samuel chapter 8, when you have God telling them, "Look, you're rejecting me. Go ahead, and anoint this guy." And you have a few instances where they're told to, you know, go and search out for themselves, judges, you know, wise men among themselves. God tells some people in the church to choose people who can could judge. We're not told in the scriptures anywhere to elect anybody. That form of government is foreign to the mindset of people in the scripture. So this is wrong. I don't care if Noah Webster said it or not. When people become entitled to exercise the right of voting for public officers, let it be impressed upon your mind that God commands you to choose for rulers just men who will rule in the fear of God. It can't. Not only it's it didn't happen, but the state does not have just men who rule in the fear of God. I mean, just name a few really godly states, and some people are going to pull up. Well, I believe that Oliver Cromwell in the Massachusetts. Well, you know, some of these places were more Christianized to some extent, but you wouldn't want to be a Baptist in any of those places. I mean, you get persecuted. Who says that's ruling in the fear of God? Calvin's Geneva? Was it really? I don't think so. Anyway, those are debatable. There might be a few things that somebody are going to accept. Some people are going to accept. Yeah, that was a man ruling in the fear of God, but they are by far the exception and not the rule. And Scripture nowhere commands people to vote. So Noah Webster has a problem here. The Republican Party is not going to save America, and our blind loyalty to it is destroying us. That's true. The party is, and I don't have blind loyalty to the Republican Party, but those Christians who do. They are going to have a problem. The party is infiltrated with baby killers, sodomites, fornicators, promoters, big government, socialism, big spending money grubbers, anti-gun Marxists, just to name a few. The blind loyalty has given the politician a blank check to do whatever he wants. He knows that no one will know or really care because it's all about winning. To most Christians, the elections are just about winning, not truth and righteousness. They have no idea how the candidate stands on the issues. Some are naive enough to think that because they're Republicans, they stand on the Republican platform. There's hardly a Republican out there that will write legislation to end the genocide of Americans, let alone monitor the industry. Most every Republican I've interviewed believes in civil unions with benefits using your money. Not one I know has tried to impeach a tyrannical judge, let alone rein in his jurisdiction, as stated in Article 3, and on and on and on. Well, this is all good stuff here. We're going to cut it short here and just cut to the chase. It says, time to stand for righteousness. It's time for a third party, the Constitution Party. It's the one I have in mind. Visit their website at constitutionparty.com. That link is also on our website. And they're right to abandon the Republican Party. If you haven't abandoned the Republican Party today and you're a Christian, do so today. Get out of it. It's a waste of time, and you're going out of your way to promote evil and not good. Just look at George W. Bush. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're late for our last break, but we'll be back in just a minute.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You may also dial 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. Or you may email your question or comment to questions@policyofliberty.net. That's questions@policyofliberty.net. And remember, the show is live from 7:30 in the morning until 9 in the morning Eastern Time. If you're listening at any other time you're listening to a recording, calls will only be received between 7:30 and 9 in the morning Eastern Time. Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
As long as the state, the agency of coercion, stands over society offering to dispense economic privilege to those who pay it homage, conferring an advantage on some men at the expense of other men, the misuse of political power should be the first line of attack for the moralist. It is inevitable that political privilege will be used in this way if it is available and begging to be used. No people has ever resisted it who have been led into this temptation. Reverend Edmund Oppitz, in The Libertarian Theology of Freedom, page 84. Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. All right, I've been mulling this thing over. This sort of caught me off guard this morning, this quote from the promoter of the Constitution Party. Now, understand, folks, I really like the Constitution Party. Even though I'm a pro-life libertarian, I consider them to be very close in many regards to what I think is right. So I'm not opposed to generally the Constitution Party, but this statement is just wrong. And they're citing this from Noah Webster. I don't know where they get this quotation, but I would like to find out where. Maybe you know and you can tell us. But it says, "Let it be impressed on your minds that God commands you to choose for rulers just men who will rule in the fear of God." This is so inaccurate. This is not what the Bible says. This is what really drives people from the Constitution Party along. And I think they're making a grave mistake. Because if we're talking about people who will lord it over them, as Christ said, then we're talking about people in the state. And the state is going to be comprised of men, historically, biblically, who have done evil to the church and have opposed to God and his ways and have been among the so-called kings of the earth who will come into judgment and who will oppose Jesus and array themselves together against the Lord and against his Christ. Now, if we're talking about people who will govern us, who will be in charge of the things that are necessary to run an essential government, whether it be, the Foreign Policy Department, passports, possibly, statistics and census and voting registration, possibly, as well as the military operations that are necessary for defense only, not offense and aggression, and things like criminal justice. Well, yeah, we're talking about something entirely different. That's a reactive policy. But the idea of having men rule over us, and it sounds to me like he's talking about the state. And in either case, where do we find Jesus or the Apostle Paul encouraging people to vote? It just doesn't happen, folks. They don't even imply that they have anything to do with the political process of getting people elected. Now, we can say that we extrapolate from Christian principle that they didn't have a constitutional republic like we have, where we can participate, and Christians should be involved to be active in their world. That makes sense. And that we should now carry forward those principles into our lives so that we try to get strict constitutional government, reactive public policy only, and obliterate the state and keep out as peacemakers those who would try to do us wickedness and malice through the interventionism of states. I don't have a problem with that. That's fine. That's what we should be doing. But to make some kind of bold statement that let it be impressed on your mind that God commands you to choose for rulers just men who will rule in the fear of God, it's just not in the Bible, folks. And I'd like to find out if someone knows where it is, so they can educate me. Maybe I'm mistaken. Give us a call at 864-244-9904. Where does the Bible say that we should let it be impressed in our minds that God commands us to choose just men who will rule in the fear of God? Doesn't say that. Sorry, it just does not say that. It's a foreign idea to the Scriptures. It's not something that the Bible contains. I'd like to hear from some Constitution Party folks on this. This may not be a truism across the board for constitutionalists. I'm not sure. Maybe it is, but it may not be. The Constitution Party, based on the idea that America should go back to its founding premises and that we have ejected the interventionist state, proactive policy, and what we want is to get rid of the Department of Education, get rid of the IRS, get rid of the Federal Reserve, get rid of the aggressive warfare, get rid of the insane policies that are carried on by Republicans and Democrats, and instead install a system of government which brings us to assist a social situation which is better than anarchy. Because right now what we got is not better than anarchy. I'm talking about the lack of political rule or government. I'm not talking about chaos, social chaos. It's better to have anarchy than to have what we've got and be pillaged and plundered and looted by the federal government and have them carry on their empire-building tactics. Just not good for anybody. It's horrible. It's a degeneration. It's a decay. It's an erosion of liberty and right and truth. And the Constitution Party that stands for returning us back to the very limited government of the vision of the founders is a great thing and a great cause. But to go out and say that we're going to go pick a bunch of rulers to rule over us who are, you know, upholding righteousness is something quite different. And to say that the Bible commands us to do so is even far different. Find it for me. Let's see what it has to say. And I'd just be interested in having a conversation with somebody who has that perspective. Maybe I'll learn something. Okay, we've already talked about the looting in Texas. That's a good picture. I've still got it in my email box because I've just got to keep it there. It's a great piece showing all those people with guns hanging around by that sign. You loot, we shoot. All right, and we've read about Harriet, old Harriet, too, Myers today. What do we think about Harriet Myers? I'll tell you what we think. We don't think too much. She doesn't look like she's got much on the ball or much going for her. Seems to me. Any rate, it just seems to me that way. Before I forget today, I need to plug my good friend Stephen Yates' book, Worldviews, it's called. Worldviews is a book about Christian theism versus modern materialism. And if you wish to order a copy of this book, you can get one for $20.99. But if you, on your order form, indicate that you're a part of the Libertarian Party or the Constitution Party, you get a discount of $2. So it'll be $18.99 plus $2.50 shipping and handling. Send all orders to the Worldviews Project, care of Dr. Yates, 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. And make all your checks payable to the Worldviews Project. That's 3500 Pelham Road, Suite 216, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Very happy to support Stephen Yates. Glad he's doing his work as his vocation as a philosopher. Doesn't get to have the best and most prestigious job. Why? Because he's an evangelical. And the other reason is he supports freedom as a Christian libertarian. Dangerous combination to be. I know, I've been there, am there, suffer because of that, because Christian mainstream does not want anything to do with people who are liberty-minded. Christian mainstream likes neocons. And the secular libertarian movement doesn't necessarily like Christians. So you're really in a catch-22 like Stephen Yates is, or myself or others, trying to make your way in the world that's generally hostile to your views on things. It's a lonely place out there. So when you find a guy like Stephen Yates, you're glad to have his company and companionship. There's some other good academics in the area. Dr. Tim Terrell up at Wofford is a Christian Reconstructionist fellow. Tremendous scholar, good thinker. And he's also here in the upstate of South Carolina. So we have some good folks here. And there are others. And we're very glad for their input and their efforts. Well, it's been quite a deep show today. Didn't have any callers today. I thought we would at least get somebody to call about some of these issues about Harriet Myers, the Constitution Party, or pursuing peace, or maybe they're just mulling it over. You know, a lot of people mull over what they hear on the Christian Worldview Show and only write later or call in later. But these are serious topics, folks, we're talking about here. What is the nature of the state? That's my latest series of articles. Read that series of articles. It's online. You can also hear the audio. Check it out. Check it out and see if what I'm saying is right, or if Noah Webster is right, if that's truly what he said about God commanding us to elect and choose rulers who will rule in righteousness and so forth. You know, this find it in the Bible. Show me what the Scripture says. Also, this whole business about pursuing peace. Let's be those who are peacemakers and pursue peace and think about how we can do that, not just by preaching the gospel, which is the fundamental thing that we do, but also by opposing tyranny and by opposing the looting of people and plundering of people and protecting their lives from the interventionist state or from any other common criminal. We have an obligation to do that. There's nothing wrong with pursuing those objectives. And as peacemakers, we need to not just sit idly by in our society and let it be trammeled and pummeled by leftists and liberals and whoever else might have an evil heart to come in with destruction. We need to be those who pursue peace in the world by even struggling and fighting for peace. And that's what we talked about earlier in the show today. If you missed that, get the recording. Remember, the recorded shows are all under the audio tab on tyrannyresponse.net and tyrannyresponse.com. Anyway, it's been a good show today. Hope you have a chance to listen to Rip and Richie this afternoon as he has his Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse, I think, around 4:30 or sometime in the drive time back home. And we'll look forward to another edition with you tomorrow right here on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. On Friday afternoon, remember, our lunch buffet, our TRN meeting, is at now the China Walk Buffet right at Pelham Road at 85. And you're welcome to come and join us about 1:30 till about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Anyway, until tomorrow morning, this is Dr. John Coben signing off from Christian Worldview, and God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.